because people have been at home and people are confronted with, you know, the power of nature, both with the pandemic and certainly with the fires in California, the hurricanes, you know, in the Southeast, people care more about what they're putting in their bodies.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
Only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so excited to have my next guest here, Rodney Williams. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here with you, Kara.
Super excited to have you here. So Rodney is the president and CEO of Belvedere Vodka. So very, very excited. I bet a few people on this crazy week, election week, are enjoying some Belvedere Vodka out there, hopefully with hint, right? So putting the two together.
Let's just hope it's an election week.
Exactly. So Rodney is just an amazing, amazing leader, and so, so excited to talk just a little bit about his journey and just overall what he's seeing and building a brand during this time, continuing to build a brand and operate a brand. And your last journey was CMO of Moët Hennessy, which is also kind of an iconic luxury brand too. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. You've been in the wine and spirits business for a long, long time and are just a legend in your own right. So I'm very, very excited.
I need to talk with you more often.
Oh, I know, right? But I mean that sincerely. I mean, you really have had just this amazing, amazing journey. So take us back. How did you find yourself in the wine and spirits business?
Well, I came out to the San Francisco Bay Area for a dot-com that turned into a dot-bomb.
Oh.
But it got me to California. And
which one was that? What, I'm curious.
Well, you won't know the startup called Chingari, and it was the suite of services for marketers. And, you know, we started the business in 2000, January, the market crashed in April. But by October, we would close a Series A of $21 million. But long story short, we totally over-engineered the solution. You needed a PhD to be able to use our user interface. So it didn't go anywhere. But it happened that Robert Mondavi was looking for someone who had, you know, classic brand management background like I did from Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson. And so they brought me over because they said, you know, we've got a classic sort of brand challenge here. We haven't been growing in the last 3 or 4 years. And our lifestyle brands are brands between $10 and $25. And that's really where the volume is and where the profits are. So that's how I got into the wine business.
That's amazing. So then after that.
Well, yeah, we turned things around. We had a great team and, of course, phenomenal winemakers. We ended up being bought by Constellation Brands, who've been great stewards to the Robert Mondavi legend. And then I got hired away to work at Jackson Family Wines, another big family-owned company, to drive growth in Kendall Jackson. It was just Jackson was a legend in the industry, and he really, you know, never took no for an answer. We said, Jess, it's number one selling Chardonnay over $10. Well, you know, congratulations. He said, I want growth. I want to see your plan within 3 months, blah, blah, blah. So we ended up launching something that was like the diametric opposite of Kendall Jackson, which is very rich and creamy, a Chardonnay that just was aged and still called Avant, Kendall Jackson Avant. It took off 100,000 cases. First year, and then Moët Hennessy hired me to work on the Hennessy business and join a team there. Hennessy wasn't growing and really needed to be sort of reintroduced coming out of the 08 recession after 4 years of no growth to a new audience. And so we worked hard, came up with a different sort of campaign that was really about values that were shared by the core audience around pushing the limits of one's potential. It's the whole never stop, never settle campaign. And it's gone gangbusters. The business has now doubled in size and profits. So at Hennessy, just this year, for the first time, it's the second spirits brand to ever make the Forbes 100 list of 100 best brands in the country. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Like, I love, you know, kind of hearing your energy on that when you, even years later, you know, you're still rooting for the brand, right? Still like, rooting. I always say that. Like, I, you know, there's definitely some people that decide that they're going to go and compete against kind of what they've built, I guess. But yeah. That for me has always been not necessarily the right thing to do. Like, why would I want to destroy something that I had worked so hard on, right?
And exactly.
I think it's awesome to hear you, you know, think the same way about, you know, these brands. Like, you're proud of what you've built.
So much.
And then, yeah. And then you move on and you go and do other things. And it doesn't mean that you want them to, you know, fail just because you left, which I think
Keep going.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. In today's world, which I will admit can at times seem filled with too much of the wrong information, it's essential to find a good source that truly gets to the heart of what I want to know. I am super excited about our next sponsor, as I've been a big fan of their content for some time now. That sponsor is The Washington Post. Their depth on topics from business to tech isn't just impressive, it's essential reading for me. Whether I'm catching up on the latest tech trends or understanding how the day's news truly impacts my family, The Washington Post is my trusted source. Let's talk specifics. Their business and tech coverage, absolutely top-notch. Just imagine having the most insightful articles at your fingertips, including the unparalleled AI reporting from Drew Harwell, or the pulse on tech and online culture from Taylor Lorenz. And the best part? You can listen to articles just like you listen to this podcast, making it perfect for your busy lifestyle. I was just reading an article from one of my favorite Washington Post writers, Frances Stead Sellers. She covers entrepreneurs like myself, but also covers other interesting topics, including health, as well as some very interesting books. I also love getting their For You newsletter, which is their roundup of stories tailored just for my interests, right in my inbox every evening. The Washington Post app is super well done, I think. It makes it incredibly easy to stay up to date and follow my favorite journalists on the go. And if you ever thought that the Washington Post is just about politics, think again. They cover everything under the sun, from climate and culture to crosswords and cooking, providing a world of surprising stories and vital insights. Okay, enough of the love fest that I have for the Washington Post. Here's the deal. Being a listener of the Kara Golden Show has its benefits, and this one is too good to miss. Now is the time to sign up for the Washington Post. Go to washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. That's 80% off their typical offer. So this is truly a steal. Once again, that's washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year.
When I was hired by Hennessy, my boss said to me at the time, "You are the caretaker of Hennessy." And I feel that way, brother. And, you know, it's almost like running a marathon. You have the baton and now you hand it off to the next person, the next team after you leave. But you want them to keep winning the race.
Yeah.
You're pulling for them all the way.
No, I love it. And even, you know, when you talked about the dot bomb that you were a part of, I mean, it's just like, I also love that I run into so many people today who almost apologize for like working for things that didn't work out. You know, they're like, let me talk about something for about 15 seconds and then I won't talk about it anymore. And I'm like, no, what did you learn? Like, what did you, you know, what did you do wrong? And, you know, I just came out with a book 2 weeks ago, actually, that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. First time author. I just got the Wall Street Journal best business book just a couple of weeks ago, just came out. It's called Undaunted: Overcoming Doubts and Doubters. And one of the things that I talk about is a story that we had with Starbucks. And, you know, I had it all figured out. Like, it was a great day when we got in there. We're in 11,000 locations. And then senior management decided after a year and a half that they were going to go in another direction and they wanted to put food in the case. And, you know, and I sort of understood, you know, that they had a business decision to make. It didn't do anything for my business. I was about to lose millions of dollars worth of business. And, you know, after I sort of came to terms with it, what I realized that the reason why it was so important to me is that 40% of my business was in Starbucks hands. It had nothing to do with Starbucks, right? It's like an account. Right. If Belvedere, if 40% of your business could go away tomorrow as a leader, like, shame on you for allowing that to be that important to you. And so I talk about it in the book that, you know, what I learned from that experience was, sure, it was bad. I don't cry very often. I had a few tears. I was going to have to destroy product in the warehouse. Like, there were just a lot of pain points. But I went back and I said, I will never put that much, you know, in one basket.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, you have stories like that as well, where you learn hard lessons and, and that just makes you better.
Right now we're dealing with something quite similar with the pandemic, because restaurant bars and nightclubs represent not quite that much, but, you know, not far off globally for Belvedere. Mm-hmm. Long been a staple of the nightlife, and the pandemic just shut down everything. We're one of the featured brands in Ibiza at Ushuaia, which is regarded as the greatest nightclub.
And I've actually been there. As shocking as that, you may that not imagine me.
Nothing about you shocked me. I'm quite
it was
impressed.
A long time ago when I was a lot more fun, but I've been there. So.
Well, the owners called us up, you know, late March, and we said, "Yeah, you know, this is looking bad." And, what are you thinking? You can reopen in the fall? Or, and they said, no, we're done for the year. We're not reopening in 2020. I'm shocked, you know, one of the biggest nightclub operators in the world. And, you know, now that the reality of the pandemic has settled with all of us and we've all been making our shifts, it seems less stunning. But I'm sure we're going to look back at this moment as you look back at your Starbucks experience and say, wow, that was really something to experience and weather.
Well, and the fact that you're actually even talking about it right now, because I think so many people, they, you know, I talk about it a lot to entrepreneurs. I say, you know, what did I learn from that? Not to have 40% of my business in, you know, one person's hands outside of my own. Yeah. The other thing that I have to diversify my business. And it's still the thing that I say today to accounts. You know, they're like, we are a very important partner. I'm like, you can still be an important partner and I can have other important partners, because if you decide for whatever reason that something's going to happen or a pandemic hits or whatever, yeah, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out like, how do I recover?
Yeah.
Then like, that's not good.
No.
Right.
That's, no.
It's not good. And I've had more people in, you know, last 2 weeks who have read this book who have said, you know, one of the chapters, there's a few of them in there, and but that's one of the chapters where, you know, I talk a lot of, in the book too, about fear and how sometimes you don't know what you're afraid of, but when something like this hits, then suddenly you are, you know, you're scared, right? You're really, really scared. And then you sit there and think about, okay, well, how can I never let this happen again? Right. And you do what you can to prepare and go through this process. But anyway, I just I think it's a lot of, you know, especially being a leader. And when you run into these hard times, it's like all you can do is look forward and say, I'm not going to allow that to happen again. And I'm going to be better prepared. And you still may be surprised along the way.
Yeah.
But I think,
yeah,
lessons learned.
Very much so. You know, one of the things that LVMH is pretty good about is having all of the business each year do force rankings of risk factors. So you're constantly thinking about what could go wrong, what could be catastrophic, what could be regional. But, you know, I don't think we had pandemic on the list. So it's really, really been an opportunity for us to sort of pivot and change. Now, with these challenges, I'll say, also come some great opportunities. So we had developed a new communication platform about Belvedere, really highlighting the fact that we're all natural. And our initial reaction was, well, we're not going to be able to do much with this with the pandemic. But because people have been at home and people are confronted with, you know, the power of nature, both with the pandemic and certainly with the fires in California, the hurricanes, you know, in the Southeast, people care more about what they're putting in their bodies and, you know, what the ingredients are and that they're recognizable and high quality. So we've rolled up our sleeves and figured out a different way into express this fact that we're made with nature, ability.
That's awesome. And how is the campaign going?
Well, it's early days yet, but what we found was there's a need to really tell our story. As I said, you know, we spent a lot of time in nightclubs and very high energy settings, but probably not as much time over the years really telling the story of craft. So Poland is the first country to appellate vodka the way France, Italy, or the U.S. appellates wine, such that you can't put any additives in the vodka. So Belvedere is made with just water from our artisanal wells and rye. And people are surprised. There's no sugar. There's no emulsifiers. There are no additives that can be included in. And I think the other surprise people tell us is that even though it's rye-based, it's gluten-free. So gluten is a really big molecule.
Yeah.
And it's captured in the first pass of distillation. Belvedere is distilled four times. But any corn or rye-based distilled spirit is gluten-free. But a lot of people buy certain brands because they say it on the label. But we're a global brand, and in Europe, you can't do that. Saying vodka is gluten-free is on the label is like saying water is cholesterol-free. I mean, it's just, but people didn't know this. So, yeah, we're really on a platform where we want to inform people of the natural properties, and the response so far has really been great for the brand. We're overperforming any expectation that we had at retail, and our online e-commerce sales are up a few 100% versus a year ago as a result of the pandemic. So that's gratifying.
That's great. So your e-commerce, so could you guys do e-commerce as a spirits business? Because I know there were some laws about shipping. I've talked to some local craft people in the Bay Area, for example, who have shared that that whole business kind of opened up for them. Were you guys in the same situation?
Same situation. So we have to go through a third party, through a distributor.
Okay.
And so they're behind the scenes in terms of distributing product. But having the sort of online partners to enable the sale was the tricky part. Mm-hmm. You got to be compliant with all of the state laws. But there are services that, you know, had been around for a while, and they're now blooming as a result of the pandemic. And we've been fortunate that they've been quite supportive of building.
That's awesome. Well, I could see, actually, I'm thinking as you're talking about this, because I remember when we were starting Hint way back when, and I thought it was as easy as putting fruit in water and like getting it on the shelf. And then what I realized is that we were actually not just starting a new product, but we were starting a new category. And the biggest challenge of starting a new category, which was unsweetened flavored water, was actually sharing with people why it was important.
Yeah.
And so we did a lot of education, and we haven't stopped educating. And part of the, you know, challenge for us as a brand early on was no one else felt that it was important to like educate. So everybody's like, well, if it was so important, then, you know, why isn't Coke and Pepsi talking about unsweetened flavored water? And I'm like, okay, well, let's think about this. Like, what's on the door? Mm-hmm. You know, sweetened products.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about the consumer and health and what they're focused on. So we've learned a lot on that front. And frankly, we have a lot of people that also use Belvedere when they're, you know, not every day.
Right? Oh, why not?
But I think, you know, they talk about that too, because they are really focused on, you know, not having the additives and not having the sweeteners. And so it's super interesting to me. And I think it makes a lot of sense, but not a lot of people are doing what you're doing, right? Like
no.
They're saying, you should know the brand. You don't have to know what the ingredients are. And I think people do care.
Yeah, they do care. And, you know, what's funny about vodka in particular is that consumers for so long have had this impression that it has no taste. It's neutral spirit. You just mix it with something else to drink. I remember when I first told a relative who's a big vodka drinker that I was moving over to Belvedere. She said, well, I'm going to have to switch from Grey Goose. And I told her all the reasons why. We're all natural. And her response was, well, but isn't the whole point of vodka that it has no taste? And this is a loyal consumer, you know, speaking. So I explained to her, no, in fact, great vodka does impart taste and character. And rye, because Belvedere is made with rye, enables us to really have a flavor we think is a bit distinct from some of the other sources of vodka, in that if you had a sandwich made with rye bread versus white bread or even wheat bread, it's the mm-hmm. rye that really imparts the flavor. But the real telltale sign that we're on the right path, it makes me think of your Hint story. Sometimes the world comes to you versus you're having to go to it. Is that 2 years ago we launched a single estate vodka series, two vodkas. We took the same Dankowski grain of rye. Mm-hmm. Planted it in an estate near the Baltics in the north of Poland, and another in the west of Poland, where the weather current in the winter is much more continental over here, mm-hmm. so it's less severe than the Baltics, so the rye is more hardy. If you've never had vodka in your entire life, you can taste the difference between two single estates.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and they've been warmly received by the critics in terms of their ratings and scores. But what was interesting is about a year after launching it, we got a letter from the TTB, the governing authority in the U.S. for spirits labeling. And they said, we need you to voluntarily give up the approval we gave you in your back labels of your single estates, because we noticed that you talk about taste, and vodka is as defined going back to the prohibition has no taste. And we said, no, we won't give it up. And the next step is to have public hearings. And we said, we would welcome public hearings. We'll even do public tastings, but we would welcome that challenge. We didn't hear back from them. And then just before the pandemic started, I think in late January, early February, they issued new guidance saying that they have modernized their definitions of vodka and it can have taste, it can have aroma, it can have character. So we're taking that as a personal victory.
I love
for Belvedere.
I love it. Well, I think what's so great too is you're taking an old, you know, iconic, nostalgic brand and you're basically invigorating it by paying a close attention to your customer. And there's some customers that will not care. Right? Like, I mean, there's some customers that get our product at Google and they're like, I don't know, it just tastes good. And I drink it all the time. Like, I don't care about, you know, anything else about it other than the fact that it tastes great. But then we have others that are so passionate and they'll write to us. And, you know, I share often with entrepreneurs and, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs that the greatest thing is actually getting, you know, this customer feedback that actually, you know, speaks to you and really talks about, I mean, for us, they talk about health. They talk about, you know, I have a customer that just wrote me this morning talking to me about getting through breast cancer and, and how, you know, just drinking Hint actually helped them to get through the chemo because the metallic taste that was in their mouth. And, you know, people are like, thank goodness that I found this product. And when you get that kind of dialogue going with customers, I think it's like, it's such a powerful thing from a, from a leadership. Yeah. Do you feel the same way? I'm sure you get.
Very, very much. Very much. So we launched a new vodka as well earlier this year. And part of the gestalt behind it was that, you know, we want to be true to who we are and that we're all natural. But our distillery has been operating for 110 years. It's the one of the world's oldest continuously operating vodka distilleries. And the guys are incredibly talented. And a lot of people don't realize the first written record of vodka is from Poland, from 1405. So the Russians claim, you know, they invented vodka, but first written record is Polish. But we know from research, like a number of consumers have said, you know, vodka is the first thing I drank in high school, maybe before high school. And, you know, I would just mix it with something and I had not so great experiences. And as I got older, I wanted more craft, spirits or wine. And I don't want to go back to those sorts of experiences. But when we tell them that there's an opportunity to really have a craft experience within vodka through Belvedere, people are intrigued. So what we launched this year is something called Heritage 176, where we went back through the archives and rediscovered that up until like the late 1800s, early 1900s, rye vodka was malted in order to separate the starch from the sugars. And as modern distillation columns were developed, they no longer needed to do the malting process. And they were the vodka makers were happy to leave that because it did give them more neutrality, less taste. We've always been about taste, aftertaste. So we went back to this old process to create a all-natural malted rye vodka. So it actually has really distinct character and taste. I mean, you can put a big piece of ice and drink it almost like as a light sipping whiskey if you want. But it's vodka.
Interesting.
And it's malted rye. And we call it Heritage 176 because 176 is the temperature in Fahrenheit where rye actually begins to malt. And so far, the reception has been wonderful. And what's also fascinating is that we did research behind this in five different countries on three different continents. And we did not expect consumers to have the same sort of uniform interest in things that are natural. But it's really, really consistent. And this is pre-pandemic.
Interesting.
We think the pandemic may have only just started.
Like males, females, would you say
males and females. It's both.
Interesting.
But what's true about millennials and the younger adult consumers is that it's a big purchase driver. Where I think for Gen X, boomers, we're hearing, yes, it's important, you know, but I really care about the taste and I really care about sort of having a relationship with the brand. Where millennials are pretty much saying front and center, you know, simple ingredients, being natural is the really beginning point and is a deal breaker for some of them. So it's quite heartening.
And would you say that that's global? I mean, because obviously you're a global brand. Do you think it's pretty consistent throughout the globe?
Yeah, we are in 120 countries. And so we did formal, you know, qualitative, quantitative research in Germany, France, UK, US, and Australia. But we, you know, we've also done other more informal explorations in many other parts of the world. And we consistently are hearing the same things. I mean, part of it is because of social media, mm-hmm. that people are able to get and share ideas from all over, that the sense of values around environment for young people is super important. And I think, you know, concern about climate change and what's happening only heightens that in terms of foodstuffs and what they're consuming and how they're consuming.
That's awesome. So managing during the pandemic, your leadership philosophy, I mean, you've never managed during a pandemic, I would assume, just like me. But what would you say is like the key thing that you've tried to focus on? And what do you think you would advise people to really think about, knowing what you know?
Well, what got us through was hyper communication. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we have a corporate office in New York, we have a distillery in Poland. We really needed, because we weren't physically together to begin with all the time, even though I'm in Poland 8 times a year in a normal year, we really needed to over-communicate in terms of how we were responding, keeping people safe, and providing the right sort of guidance in terms of how people were to interact and social distance at work, how we could divide up the workforce to minimize the number of people on the distillery campus, how we would interact with vendors themselves. So, you know, it was as a leader, I think the thing that I came to value the most, and I'm still working towards being better, is listening. Is mm-hmm. really, really listening. So listening input and listening to it from really disparate quarters. So we were doing leadership meetings every other day, weekly all hands meetings to really keep the team together, keep the team informed, until we got to the point where we had real confidence that the situation was managed. And Poland as a country did a great job in terms of closing down the borders and managing the pandemic, though it is spiking there as it is in much of Europe right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's also the other piece that I really learned and over the last 8-9 months was that sometimes you just have to go one-on-one with some people, that there's, you know, some really interesting situations that I'm sure you tackled too, where some people were living with, you know, elderly parents, or they were, you know, cancer survivors when I didn't realize that they were cancer. So, or, you know, having kids that are homeschooled right now. I think like that's the same thing. It's like, you know, and I think be willing to go a little bit one-on-one, especially in scary situations where like we're experiencing, I think has been, you know, kind of the biggest thing that I've learned during this time.
Yeah. And, you know, and you talk about, you know, your Starbucks experience, also a sense of real agility, because we had never had, you know, big numbers of people working remotely. And there were just concerns that you lose out on the water cooler discussions and the little tidbits that help people really feel motivated. But productivity has not suffered in this circumstance. So the businesses continue to go perk along. One person who became positive with COVID, who was on holiday, on vacation, and actually got exposed that way, found out before he returned. But overall, yeah, we've had a great track record of keeping people safe, healthy, and we've not closed the distillery for one day. So, and everyone's very proud of that. Everyone is very proud. But it took a lot of flexibility, doing things differently. Our biggest challenge in Poland was getting the laptops. Just didn't have that need for all of these laptops all of a sudden. So it was a scary time, I will say. But one that we're proud of how it came.
I love it. I love it. So what was the best advice that you've ever received? And what advice would you give people today in just moving forward?
I would say some of the best advice is to really hang on to optimism. And it seems, you know, a little cloy and trite to say, but it's easy to lose that and become cynical or overwhelmed in conditions that are, you know, really challenging from different directions. When the pandemic first started, we moved to produce high alcohol content liquid that could be used for hand sanitizers. And it took us the better part of at least 6 weeks of day in, day out negotiations with the Polish government to do that, because they have huge constrictions against doing things that are beyond one's permit in their efforts to really clamp down on illegal production of alcohol, you know, high content alcohol that's misused. But we found the right charity in Caritas. We partnered with the unit of Michelin, which makes hand sanitizers in Poland, and we're able to get it out to first responders and hospitals. But it was,
I love that.
It's because the team was so optimistic and so certain that we have to do this. We have to find a way to support and make a contribution. Yeah, in the end, it really felt worth it.
I love it because you're helping people, right?
And yeah.
People feel good about helping people. And I love that.
Part of a community. So we want to do what we can do.
I absolutely love it. So where do people reach you, Rodney? I mean, what's the best way to get a hold of you on social and hear more about what you guys are up to at Belvedere?
Come to BelvedereVodka.com and we'll see. We've got over 150 recipes and we have more information than you can imagine about the health and the content of our product itself. I mean, all of the studies that prove that it's gluten-free and all natural. And also, we've done a lot of work in terms of green energy. We've cut CO2 emissions by 42% from 2012 to 2018. We got a big grant, first distillery to win a green energy grant in 2019.
I love it.
And we have a biomass capture facility coming online in first quarter of next year, such that we will have reduced CO2 emissions by 80%. And the operations, the process of producing the vodka will be carbon neutral. So we're on a path.
That's amazing. That's so terrific. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, thanks for listening. And if you liked this episode, definitely give us 5 stars. And Rodney, thank you so much for your time and stay safe and well. And we'll definitely be excited to watch the Made with Nature campaign. It's really awesome.
Thank
you guys are great.
You're
great at storytelling and I love it.
And I'm going to get your book.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So, well, I'm excited about that and excited to hear what you think about it. So honored. All right. Great. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.